Hi, this is Bennett Tomlin with your Scientific Nutrition Update, the show where in 5 to 10 minutes you get my quick thoughts on something new or interesting in the world of health, nutrition, or fitness. For today's episode, we're going to talk about one of my favorite drugs, caffeine, which is actively coursing through my veins and making me probably talk a little bit faster than I want. Now, just to be clear, I'm not talking about the health effects of coffee or tea. I'm just talking about caffeine and caffeine alone. Those other episodes will come later. So caffeine, that magical substance that gave me the focus to write my book, has carried me through multiple all-nighters, and keeps me awake during those committee meetings that make me want to nod off. But what do we really know about caffeine? Well, first and foremost, we know it feels fantastic. I mean, who among us doesn't love that very first rush from the caffeine? The confidence, the energy, the belief that the problem you're dealing with can be solved. It's more than a little intoxicating. However, this feeling fades fast because caffeine has a pretty vicious tolerance curve, meaning you get a tolerance pretty quickly, and if you try to cut off caffeine use after extended usage, you get some uncomfortable withdrawal symptoms. However, overall, caffeine is an intriguing compound with interesting health effects. So in humans, caffeine is absorbed at about 99% within about 45 minutes, which suggests it has pretty incredible bioavailability, and it is freely able to pass through the blood-brain barrier. Now, caffeine itself is an adenosine receptor antagonist, meaning that it binds to the adenosine receptor and blocks the action of other compounds that bind to it. Now, the reason this is important is because adenosine receptors seem to inhibit the release of certain excitatory neurotransmitters. So basically, normally the receptor keeps these excitatory neurotransmitters from being released. Caffeine helps interrupt that by binding to it and blocking it so that the excitatory neurotransmitters can be released. This effect seems to in part contribute to increased dopamine transmission, which helps explain why caffeine feels so good, why it's addictive, and why you get some of the stimulant effect from it. One of the cool things about caffeine is that it's one of the best proven and most well-studied nootropic, meaning that it's a compound that makes you smarter. Doses of less than 500 milligrams seem to somewhat improve information processing, though this effect is somewhat small and primarily shows up as an increase in speed. Now, when we're studying caffeine, we also need to consider the fact that it does interrupt sleep, which when you're pulling an all-nighter is a desired effect, but when you're just using it during the day, obviously it's not desirable. However, it seems this effect is actually more limited than many people think, and removing caffeine does not seem to help those people with poor sleep who regularly use caffeine. Now, one of the cool tricks you can do with caffeine that a lot of people don't know about is what's called a caffeine nap, which became popular among the tech elite like 2 or 3 years ago. And they're a shown way of improving afternoon performance. So all you have to do is to get the effects of this is drink a big cup of coffee quickly so it doesn't start kicking in, and then take a 20-minute nap. When you wake up, you'll feel fantastic. Seriously, definitely try this one out. Now, there's even evidence that caffeine can improve athletic performance. There was a small study done on 10 male athletes that showed an 8.5% increase in work done in an intermittent sprint protocol. Now, there are several important notes here. One, the dose of caffeine was high, 6 milligrams per kilogram, which for someone who weighs 275 pounds like me, would be 750 milligrams of caffeine or 12 shots of espresso. That's a lot of caffeine. Plus, again, there were only 10 total subjects in the study, so we have to be very careful in analyzing it. However, there's another study that suggests it helps with submaximal exercise, too, where they were going at about 80% of their VO2 max, so in like an endurance range, and it increased the amount of time they were able to do it from 75 minutes on average to 90 minutes on average, which is a pretty impressive effect. Now, it's also important to remember that high doses of caffeine can lead to symptoms that seem to mimic generalized anxiety disorder. Admittedly, the doses that seem to cause this are super high, so like 1,000 milligrams per day, which would be about 16 shots of espresso. Not a normal amount, but we do have to consider the fact that high doses of caffeine can contribute to anxiety symptoms. Now, just to be clear, when I'm talking about addiction to caffeine, it's not caffeine abuse in the same manner as abuse of other stimulant drugs such as cocaine or amphetamines. When I say it's highly addictive, I mean it in a more colloquial sense, in which people seem to suffer uncomfortable withdrawal symptoms upon discontinuing use, and there's a tolerance curve that seems to cause people to very quickly increase their dosage they're being used. You don't, however, see people continuing caffeine use despite worsening physical or psycho-emotional symptoms, and so it's not truly abuse or addiction in the sense of many of these other medications. Now, the last thing we need to talk about, and it's a little bit of potty talk before we break this episode, is the gastroclonic reflex. Now, anyone who's drank coffee or used caffeine is probably aware of this reflex. When you drink caffeine, your body seems to react with some gastrointestinal symptoms. And so it's always an important thing to be aware of when consuming caffeine. If you find any great journal articles on this or anything else you think I might find interesting, email them to me at scinutrient@gmail.com. That's scinutrient@gmail.com. If you have any other questions, please send me a voice message on Anchor, and I'll try to answer them on this podcast for you. If you want to learn more about intermittent fasting, consider checking out my book, The Optimized Guide to Intermittent Fasting. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps more than you know. Thank you for tuning in, and remember, live long, live healthy, but most of all, live happy.
Oh, thank you.